Beatles, she said, and he said is what the mayor says. Every time we roll into something, he says, man, you got to have some classic rock on for me when I come on, Ed. And we try and do so. We welcome Mayor Bob Whalen this morning. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. How are you?
Good morning, Ed. I'm great. Thanks for the lead in there with the Beatles. Always good.
Absolutely. My pleasure. You know, the most callers now on Thursday, instead of asking questions about what's going on in the city, they're going to want to ask you music questions. That's what I'm seeing a lot now. but welcome. And again, thank you for taking the time to be with us. So we interviewed a couple of weeks ago here. There are a lot of young Southern Californians and those specifically to Laguna Beach that are involved in politics. We interviewed a young man named Alex Ranaghi who had sent a letter about undergrounding to the city and got a response really quickly about it regarding working with a public affairs firm to obtain state and federal funding for undergrounding and some other city council priority projects. Is there a timeline for receiving state or federal funding for something like this?
Well, you know, there's no absolute timeline. It's when it's available, right? I mean, we're all hopeful that the federal government will be an infrastructure program, maybe, you know, improving number one priority, I think, for us is Laguna Canyon Road in terms of community-wide impact. And, you know, could we get something out of an infrastructure bill? We'd certainly like to try. State funding is more kind of one-off where you have to just go make a pitch. You know, I think that's a possibility. But, you know, I made this pitch a few years ago unsuccessfully when we tried to get Measure P passed to do some undergrounding on key evacuation routes. I think we got to, frankly, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and, you know, look at doing a good chunk of this locally. Which we have the capacity to do. It's just a question of whether we have the will to do it, whether the community wants to get behind it and say, yep, this is important enough. Let's spend some local dollars.
Right. Well, let me ask you about that. So the Laguna Canyon Road project would be costly, we know, and it would need more than state and federal grants. What other kind of strategies would we pursue? Some kind of sales tax? What exactly would you be thinking about? What are you kicking around?
Yeah, one possibility is a sales tax. You know, we limit it to Laguna Canyon Road only this time. I think some of the criticism last time was that it was, you know, we picked other evacuation routes in town, and people thought that was not a good strategy. So maybe limit it to Laguna Canyon Road. But we also have, you know, some existing capacity with our street lighting fund and our Measure LL dollars that we earmarked, you know, for these kinds of projects. I think we could, with existing revenues, probably borrow $25 or $30 million over time, and that would be a good chunk of the project. But yeah, it'd be great. You know, state and federal dollars. It is a state highway. I think it's very appropriate for the state to contribute to that, and we'd look to them for some dollars. I think it'd be a question of sort of piecing it together, Ed, and deciding, you know, how much can we afford and what can we do. The undergrounding is the gateway to all the other improvements you want to do on the road. It's a narrow road, and it's crowded. But once you get the utilities out of the way, you can do the bike lanes, you can do the pedestrian lanes, you connect the open space to the downtown to the open space. So that's how I'm thinking about it.
Why didn't it work last time? Why didn't we pass that measure? We had enough attention on it, and we really, as a community, I thought as a community we were behind it. Why didn't it pass?
Well, I don't know. I certainly thought we had a good... First of all, it's hard to pass, right? You need two-thirds vote, and it's hard to get two-thirds of the people to agree whether the Beatles were a good... You know, so that's difficult. But I think there also was... I thought the sales tax was a good vehicle for it because it is paid substantially by visitors to our community, right? Because they're the ones that pay sales tax when they come into the hotels, when they come into the restaurants. But there was some, you know, backlash that, well, residents pay sales tax too, which is true. But, you know, wouldn't you like a funding source where visitors are paying, I think, you know, 85% of it? And again, there was some dispute on the data, but just logically, you know, 6 million visitors are going to pay a lot of sales tax. Right. So I think that was part of the problem. But, you know, we could, nothing in life is free. if you want to get some good improvements and really improve your traffic safety, your fire safety, and get some good amenities, you got to prioritize. And I think we have, like I said, I think we have the capacity to do it here. Do we have the will? I think that's the question.
All right. Thank you for that clarity. That is clarity right there. Last month, the city met with Congresswoman Steele's office and Senator Min, and they submitted, you guys submitted a list of priority projects, including, of course, Laguna Canyon Road and Park Avenue undergrounding. Congresswoman Steele decided not to submit any district projects for the federal earmark process this year. And it would seem to me like it's a perfect opportunity for our congressional representative to say that they did something substantial for their district. Did her lack of support surprise you here?
Yeah, I don't know the reasoning for that. You're exactly right. We did make the ask, and seemed to us to be a real logical request. We also requested, consideration for our sewer system upgrade, which, for the main sewer line running down Coast Highway for water quality reasons, ocean water quality reasons. I mean, it seemed to me those would be, perfect for an infrastructure package, which obviously is making its way through Washington. I don't know why she made that decision, but yeah, obviously disappointing not to, have your legislator kind of battling for you in Washington. So we're going to look at some other avenues. Maybe we approach Representative Katie Porter out of Irvine or Mike Levin out of, South Orange County and see if they'd be willing to go the extra mile with us, maybe at least on the ocean water quality side of it. So, we'll keep pushing there as well.
Would you consider approaching Senator Feinstein or Alex Padilla to continue to look for funding opportunities?
Oh yeah, we do have conversations with their office. A little tougher to crack through to the the senators,
right.
We would do that outreach as well.
And I think this is my most pedestrian question, really. That if we knew that we were getting funding today, if you knew today that we were going to be able to get that funding, how long between that funding and the first shovel breaking ground on the canyon? Weeks, months, years? What would we look at?
I think realistically, you'd be talking about a couple of years. You'd have to go through environmental analysis and, and then plans and approvals. And that's just the way of it on a major project like that. Caltrans, I think now they're in the sidewalk project, right? They started the El Toro Road intersection project out there. They started the entitlement process last year, and they're going to say they're hoping to be done by 2023. So it's a multi-year effort, but a lot of it's not construction on the road. It's just the pre-approval process you have to go through.
Okay.
But we'd get after it if we could, and have it ready to go and look for funding if we knew we had a source.
Hey, I'd be ready to wear a fluorescent yellow jacket and direct traffic a little bit out there if necessary. I trust me there.
my best Halloween costume ever was I was over on Oak Street, and I had a yellow hat and an SCA type vest and undergrounding. I put undergrounding in letters on it. That was a fun one.
Oh, that's great. That's great. What a great way to deliver a message too. Thank you for doing that. You met with the hospital. Was that yesterday?
Yes.
Can you tell us what was discussed?
Yeah, we did. We discussed, the implementation of the security improvements that we've talked about previously. The cameras are supposed to be in and operational by the end of the month. Their personnel changes are going into effect as well, where they're upgrading the security guards. But we spent most of the time talking about, the impact that the hospital has when people get discharged, and some of the patients get discharged. And there have been reports to the police about, individuals just walking out or walking out with gowns on. And we did unfortunately found one individual who was deceased on in the neighborhood on a deck up there after leaving the hospital. So we talked at length about how we can better control the discharge process, and And honestly, also whether we can, whether they can de-emphasize the service at the hospital, where you know the sheriffs from South County bring all of the 5150s, they call them, or the you know the mental health cases there, because it is one of the few facilities in South Orange County that offers that service. And you know, our part of our point was, well, why can't you relocate some of that to the Mission Hospital campus, the larger campus? And you know, Councilmember Blake did a really excellent job, I think, of articulating that rationale during the call. So that's going to be an ongoing discussion. It's not obviously an overnight solution, but really, that's the main topic. And we agreed to get together again in June, try to draw the county sheriff into the dialogue and see if they can't alter their procedures for, you know, where they drop individuals off for, you know, either emergency room treatment or entry into a mental health program. So that's the big topic on the table.
Well, we've got a lot of listeners from South Laguna who are right now thanking you for continuing that conversation. And I read that all the time on the texts we receive and the phone calls we get. So thank you for continuing that conversation and moving it forward. Now that we're getting more vaccinated and then June 15th, we're expected California to open up. Will the Suzy Q open up before June 15th date, or when could we look forward to the Suzy Q opening up for seniors?
You know, I'm going to have to check over with Nadia and see. I suspect they're going to wait for the June 15 date and before they bring programs back in. You know, there still are some limitations on indoor programs. I think it's, honestly, I think it's still a work in progress as to what those rules are going to look like on June 15 or after June 15. So I believe at this point that's the logical choice. Let's see what the operating principles and rules are once the governor reopens on June 15 and then ramp it up from there.
All right. And what's going on Tuesday night? What can we look forward to this coming Tuesday?
We have our budget workshop, 3 to 5 on Tuesday, and that's probably our big topic on the agenda. So, you know, I know we do get input from a few members of the community, usually on budget items and requests, but this one's particularly going to be an interesting one because we're obviously recovering from the pandemic, and I think we're good part of the way back on revenues in terms of projections, not 100% back, but certainly moving in the right direction. So that'll be a good discussion, I think, on Tuesday.
Excellent. We'll look forward to it. Mayor Whalen, I realize you're busy and your time is always valuable, and we certainly appreciate you being with us this morning. Thank you. And I always bring you in with some cool rock and I send you out with some rock. How about a little Crosby, Stills, and Nash for you?
Great.
Mayor Bob Whalen, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Ed. Have a great day.
Thank you. You as well, sir.